She was always making us work pretty hard, which was good. Taught us a lot of good values. But she always made time for a lot of fun. And one time, we had a... It wasn't really snow, because in Texas, we just don't get much snow down in the south. And it was more like ice than snow. So she thought, well, let's take the boys, her and my aunt and her boys. Let's go down to where we had not much of a hill, but it was a creek, so there was an embankment there. Well, they also, her and my dad worked as butchers, so they brought these big lids home that were waxed on the bottom. So she thought that would be a good sled. So she took us down there, and I guess her and my aunt was going to try it out first. So
well, that's
we didn't
good. Yeah.
Get hurt. And they did, and they slid down, and they were yelling and screaming all the way down. And by the time they got to the bottom, their feet went up, and they landed right in the water. So those are some fond memories for me.
Did you have to go home then?
We did, because they were freezing.
Yeah.
Because that was only...
Way to go, Mom.
Only maybe 36 degrees in Texas.
That ooh, that's cold. That's ooh.
So that was a fond memory that I had. That she always made sure
Amen.
We had a good time.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Who'll be next? Right here. Okay. I guess he's going to do his own thing, huh?
Phone? Okay.
And he's messing with you.
Okay. It scared me. Well, I have a good memory of my mom today. It was kind of funny. Me and my sisters, like, at the beginning of this month, tried really hard to get us to...
Andy, just open the bottom a little bit. Just turn the bottom a little bit. There you go. There you go.
Okay. We tried to get everyone together, like, on a video chat thing so my mom could see us all at the same time and eat at the same time, which is very interesting to try to have my mom eat and talk to everyone at the same time, by the way. But... kind of funny because then my mom is trying to grab all the cell phones and face them towards each other so the sisters that are chatting could talk to each other. And then all of a sudden you have the sisters going, wait, where's Mom? I can't see Mom. So that was really funny.
All right.
So that happened good. Today.
All right. Right here. Larry.
One of the good things I thought to think about my mom, she was yeah, she always took me to church every morning. And she always sung that song, somebody touched me, it must be the hand of the Lord.
How about that, amen?
And,
good memories. Yeah, thank God for Mom.
I missed her a lot.
Amen.
And thank God for her, because she always brought me to church
amen.
Every morning.
Praise the Lord.
And she always be singing gospel songs
amen.
When she's cooking.
Okay. You grew up in... You grew up in, where were you at on that time?
Tennessee.
Where in Tennessee?
Chattanooga.
Amen.
And Dr. Lee Robinson, he come over for supper one night, and we had real good gospel songs.
Amen.
Praying.
That man preached from this pulpit. Yes. Amen. He's a good man. He told me, he said, Brother Shear, I wish I'd known you 25 years ago. So he told me. What a blessing. All right. So, Mama, Joey over there.
So my mom loves surprises, loves giving gifts, doing the nice things for her kids. So during Christmas time, we always ask to open the presents early. And when we moved to Germany, it made it a lot harder because our aunts and uncles and grandparents would send all the gifts early. So then they would just sit in the box next to the Christmas tree.
That's bad.
And we were like, Mom, can we open a present early? And every time it was, no, you have to wait for Christmas. So we're now in Pennsylvania. Our aunts and uncles send us gifts. They're under the tree, and Nikki goes over, picks up a present, and she's bothering Mom all day. It's like, Mom, please, can I pick up this one? Can I open this one? And my mom just runs over, takes the present, sits on her, and just starts laughing as she opens the present herself. It's like, ah, ha, 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 I'll open the present for you. Ah, ha, ha, ha. So that was one of my favorites, because I'm just sitting there in my computer chair just watching this, laughing, and then I get to say, hey, Mom, Nikki opened one. Can I?
Ooh, that's the way it goes. Amen. Next, story about your mom. Way back, Miss Pam, your grandma. There That's going in the junk pile, I'll tell you what. Oh. Why does that surprise me, Joy? Launch officer, he knows how to do everything. But.
My mom taught me a lot of things, and one of them is my mom was always entertaining and always had a house full of people and was cooking for everybody, and she cooked like there was no tomorrow.
That's right, amen.
If anybody left the house hungry, it was their fault. But I do have a funny memory. I remember Rick, when he did her funeral, he told this story. We were playing a Phase 10 game, and my dad is not a really good loser. And so he was getting stuck with his hand, and it was like the last hand, and he had to go to the restroom, and while he was gone, my two sisters and I are sitting at the table. My mom says, "Girls, hold your hand and don't lay down until Dad at least lays his cards down." And we're like, "Mom, no, we don't want to do. Come on now, you know he's really upset. Let's do this and let's make it so that we have a good night because he's gonna be grumpy all night." So we're like, "All right." We're sitting there. My mom laid all her cards down and went out on every one of us. Talked us into holding it so that she could go out on us. So that's my funny memory from my mom.
She's a hoot, I'll tell you what, amen. If you ever ate at their house, you knew that you ate at their house. It was good, amen. Okay.
Okay.
That's great. Yeah. We'll be here all night.
Okay. So a fond memory I have of my mom was when I became a mother. She just made me stay at her house because I was living alone and just taught me how to be a good mom with, you know, doing everything that needed to be done with a newborn because I had no idea. So just, you know, thankful that she was able to be a part of that.
Amen. Thank God for mamas. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Julie.
Okay. So my mom and my little sister, there was a present under the Christmas tree, and they realized it was the cordial cherry chocolates.
Ooh.
And so my mom and my sister, the different times, unwrapped the gift, took out a piece of chocolate, ate the piece of chocolate, and so when we opened the gift at Christmas time, there was nothing in there.
It was your present? They ate all your chocolate.
I don't know
what
it was, but it was.
All right. Somebody else. Mama's story. Yes, right? Sherry, did you raise your hand? Okay. Huh?
I had to make sure it was on, Joey. So my mom taught me that we certain things you just got to do in life. Some of you may know we didn't have it really easy when I was growing up. And I told my Sunday school class this morning that my mom worked three jobs to put my two sisters and I through private school.
Yeah, listen to that.
Hardworking lady, she still is. She still works a graveyard shift. We didn't spend a whole lot of time together because she was working so busy, but I'll never forget how much effort and time she spent on us just trying to raise us. And,
amen.
And thankfully, we all turned out okay. We're all still in church. Hey, I got the mic.
Somebody else. Yes, right there. Sandy.
Hello. There it goes.
Okay. We'll start singing, all right?
Okay. One of the things that my mom taught me that was very, you know, kept in my mind forever was one time I had went and sat in the car and there was a really expensive plate that meant a lot to her and I sat on it and broke it. And I was like sitting in the car crying and she came in and realized and she told me, she goes, "Sandy," she goes, "that plate might have meant a lot to me, but that plate is replaceable and you're not."
Aww.
And I always remember that for when I was raising my kids, you know, if they accidentally broke something and it hurt, I was like, even though that might have been expensive, you're still here. You're not, you know, hurt. And that's what she was concerned about, is if I had cut myself when I sat on the plate. And I always will remember that.
Yeah, sweet. Up here.
I know everybody thinks I probably have a million funny stories because you all know
we
my
do.
Mom.
I got some.
Yeah. One of my most memories, the funniest memories that I just remembered right now is we're actually when we were in Nepal. Everybody knows that we would go usually 16 to 18 hours without electricity. So we had a lot of family time, let's just say that. And my mom always made sure that in part of that time that we at least spent some time together and did something. And I remember one time, I can't remember if she was just washing my hair or if she was, she put curlers in my hair, and we went up on the roof, and they're flat roofs there, so you can just stand up there. That's where they do laundry and everything. And the electricity was out, so there was no lights anywhere, and she thought it was going to be the funniest thing to shine a light on me so that everybody in all the houses around us could see, because everybody was all up on their roofs too because it was hot inside. And she would like pause and she'd be like, okay, I won't do it again. And then she would do it again every time. But she was
how many,
awesome.
How many hand claps did you get?
Just woohoos and oh yeahs. It wasn't really that great.
All right. Now, Anthony's been raising his hand. He's about wearing himself out there.
On every drop.
It's fine. Just let her rip.
On every birthday, our mom lets us to pick the dinner and then she'll cook it. And I normally always pick mashed potatoes and then something on the side. When I was turning 8, I picked the best meal that my mom ever made. It was mashed potatoes and gravy, and then I picked corn and then porcupine meat, but it didn't have the rice in the sauce. And she just made it, and I chowed it down. And I think I got, I think I poured gravy on my porcupine meat. Yeah, I always do that.
What are porcupine wings?
Porcupine meat.
Hamburger meat with rice inside.
Oh.
But no rice inside it.
Yeah.
There's no rice
I like
inside
that.
It.
Why don't you invite me to come over? I love those. Yeah.
Maybe next birthday.
All right, buddy. I'll put that in my book. All right. Oh, Blake needs to tell us something.
That's so good.
What?
What? What is it, translator? I beat that. Ditto. Oh, ditto. Oh. Somebody else. About your mother. Anybody else? Little Jim?
This is a more somber one than all the rest were happy. When I was born, I was...
That is very somber.
I know.
Yeah.
No, when I was born, I barely didn't make it. They took me out. I was born in a Catholic hospital in New York City. They ripped me out of my mother's hands, and a priest and a nun, because Catholics believe you have to be baptized, rushed me as sick as I was, baptized me, so my official godparents are a priest and a nun. I have no idea. And then I was very, very sick, had no voice, and they wouldn't let her stay after she recovered. So my father was overseas during the Korean War, and every night she came from where we lived to the hospital. And she sat outside on a park bench all night long, just looking at the window where the babies were kept. They wouldn't let mothers in then. And a man saw her after a couple of nights and tried to rape her, and just about did, and she got away right at the very end, but kept coming back every night. Then when I was released, I had no voice box for 13 months or more. So just to show devotion, we stayed with my grandmother and my mother, and she had to set an alarm clock. I was in a bassinet next to her bed, and because I had no sound at all, which I know most of you would like now, It was not fun for a mother who did not know if a baby was crying or needed to be fed. So every half hour, she set that old Ben, whatever it was, clock, woke herself up just to look to see if I was crying or need to be fed. For 13 months, she did that until one night I made a sound, and I haven't stopped since.
All right, somebody else. Yes.
Mic, sister. You
have 10 seconds, and it's going to explode.
It's okay. If you can't talk, then you can't. You can't.
All right. Anybody else?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, you can use this one, brother.
My mom, with my dad being in the military, he'd be gone, either out in the field. And or I remember when he went to Korea, it was a full year that he was gone without seeing him. And she kept faithful, though, and brought us to church and raised us up. And then when he'd come home, he'd just, support and continue on. But we always had fun in our house, too. And I remember we'd have water fights. And if you ever get into anything with my dad, too, everything gets bigger and better. There's been pie fights. That too. So when we had water fights, it was not uncommon for a hose to make its way into the side door and then get launched off inside the house just to prove a point that, there's always something bigger. And she'd always say, it's all right, water dries, we're okay, and people would think it was the craziest thing that you'd have a water hose being, shot off with the, inside the house. But just great memories like that and just a wonderful time.
I know, she's very good at food fights.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, anybody else? Anyway, yes.
I wanted to just say one more thing about my mom. I'm super, super grateful that she literally drops everything to help when her grandbabies are suffering and or on deathbed. So
amen.
That's a huge blessing.
Thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Diana.
I can remember when we were kids. What was I going to say? Oh.
Just make something up.
Well, Mom's birthday was on the 10th, and mine is on the 12th of September. So every year we spent our birthdays together.
Yeah.
And then one year I had a yellow canary, and then one other time we had a pure white one. But us kids got the measles, so the bird got the measles and died.
How about that?
Wow.
And so we've had rabbits, dogs, cats when we were little, and we still do. And then one time when we were younger, we didn't have a regular size washer and dryer. We had the old-time wringer, And my sister Debbie got her hair caught in the wringer one time. But anyway, and then having to hang out diapers, it took all day to do.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's all.
It's amazing what we have, the convenience have today, and we're complaining we don't have enough time. Grandma used to make 12 loaves of bread about every other day and all that, warts and all that stuff, amen. Anybody else? All right. Who did? Nancy. All right, thank you.
My mom, she certainly, one thing she always did was cook 3 meals a day. She didn't, she stayed home with her kids until we were all in school. And I would volunteer her, a lot. And, she always just did whatever I volunteered her for, whether it was making a big bowl of potato salad or whatever, or if we wanted to go to ball games out of town, and she would take a group of girls, and she was just, I gave her lots of problems
to put it mildly. And I'm thankful I still have her. She's almost 92.
Hello. Yes. Thank you. Just a minute, I'll let you do that, okay? Just say Happy Mother's Day to Mom. Go ahead.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. This is Carrie.
Okay.
And she's wise.
All right. I love you.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Some people have no idea. Okay. Take your Bibles. We need to take an offering. Come on, Archers. That's one thing. I'm a good Baptist. I didn't even forget about that. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you, Junior Deacon. All right. Just for a couple of announcements. Got some folks having birthdays this week. And Case and Tiffany Moore's anniversary. Colt Reeves and Jerry Haynes' birthday on Monday. Brisea Torres and Tyler Graves' birthday is Friday, and Bruce Peterson's birthday is on the 20th. Wish him a happy birthday for me, will you please? I'm going to see him? Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Did you already take the offering?
No.
Oh. Wow, I was going to say, whew. Come on now. We need a little bit more than that. Amen. All right. Great memories of mothers. I'll tell you a story when the ushers come forward. I had three sisters, and I didn't realize my mother was such an athlete. And so she said, "You want to play some ball?" I said, "Yeah." So she says, "You hit it to me, and I'll catch it." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, right, you know. I batted a pretty good ball," and she jumped up and grabbed that ball one hand, just like that, with her bare hand. I couldn't believe it. She became my hero from that time on. I couldn't believe Mama. But they said she could run like a deer. She was fast. Man, she was fast. So, praise the Lord. She had to be trying to catch me. Amen. So, well, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for another night we can be together. I pray you bless. Help us, Lord Jesus, be faithful to your services. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us, Lord God, to do that what is right. And, Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for a time that we can be together as we look in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Job chapter 2. I didn't intend this, but this morning I was preaching on Job, and this is a new sermon, and there's just so much on that, and so I want to finish what I started. I've never heard a sermon on the wife of Job before, except this morning, and I was preaching it, amen. And what'd your mama say? Did you see anything about it? Yeah, she wants me to come preach it at her, amen. So, I think many times we read the scriptures, sometimes we just kind of bump over some things. And let's read tonight, and let's stand, give God the honor of reading his word. In Job chapter 2, verse 7, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils, from the sole of his foot unto his crown." Now, remember now, Satan has already come before God before and taken everything, every financial thing, every thing that was living comfort to Job and his wife. Everything's gone. Took his, killed his 10 kids, killed his servants, killed the sheep. The camels were stolen. And just incredible. I mean, just devastation of this. The Bible said he was the greatest man of the East and took everything away from him. Okay? Now, Satan comes again, and God says to him, have you considered my servant Job? Like saying, I told you that he was a great man. I told you that he would do what's right. And at the end, Satan says, skin for skin. You take everything away from him, and you take his health away from him, and he'll curse you. And so that's where we're at the story now. Verse 8, and he took, Job, and he took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. And I think right there he's just saying, now, honey, you know you're not like that. You don't talk like these other women do. You know better than that. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin, three words, with his lips? I think there's a lot to that right there. Did sin with his lips? I think he thought about it. I think a lot of us think about certain things going in our hearts and life, and we're trying to wrap our brain around it and can't figure out some things, and just trying to try to work things out, figure out what's going on in my life, and we don't say anything. We don't want to say anything. We want to hinder other Christians around us. And so we don't say anything. But there's some things in our hearts and our lives that really, if we... I heard a preacher says, wouldn't it be amazing with all the technology we have is to be able to put electrodes on our brains and then set it into a video screen and then show what we're thinking. How many want to sign up for that? Jim? Charles? Mr. Hobbs? John? Joey? Yeah, that'd be fun, man. So I want you to soberly think of Job's wife. I want you to think about her. I want you to think about her. I'll be honest with you. After I studied this for about 3 weeks, I can't wait to meet Job's wife in heaven. I can't wait to sit down with her and just have a talk with her. Father, I pray you speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to have mercy where mercy is so needed. In a world that is so callous and so mean and so disrespectful and so annoying. And Lord, help us to glean from these scriptures in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Job chapter 2 and verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? I want to remind you that we did not hear of Job's wife saying anything when all the calamities had been taking place, where they lost everything, all their wealth, and then they lost their 10 children. She refrained her tongue, kept silent, though probably with some difficulty. A lot of us have a difficulty not saying some things. But when she did say to Job, it seemed as if that she could not endure it any longer. You know, there are certain things that just pushes and pushes and pushes and pushes. Kind of like your kids always asking us. We're out with the boys the other day, and we're out. First of all, we started fishing on Lake Kiwi in South Carolina. And John has this way of always making the schedules, okay? John, he said, Dad, are we going to go cliff diving. Dad, are we gonna? When are we gonna go? When are we gonna go kneeboarding? Dad, when are we gonna go get some ice cream? Dad, when are we? Oh, he's just constantly. Funny. Of course, John, that's enough. We're doing what we're doing right now. You know, some of us have that happen in our home. I can just imagine the house of five little boys, how many questions are asked every day. Why? Why, Mom? Why? Why, Mom? Why, Mom? Mom, Mom, Mom? Why, Mom? After a while, it just kind of says, stop. Enough. And here is a lady that has married a godly man. The Bible said he was perfect. He's a man of wisdom. He's a man of wealth. He is a good man. He's a family man. He's always praying for his children, always knowing where they're doing, what they're doing. He's watching over them all the time. She married a good man. And for the most part, most good men marry good women, good ladies, most time. And she didn't say anything. But when she said to Job, it seems as if she couldn't endure it any longer. And she, to see her great godly husband being so afflicted, he didn't deserve it. Some of you girls, your husband comes home and they may have got fired, or maybe they've lost a job, or maybe they put him down, or they didn't give enough hours. All of a sudden, you know how good a man he is, and you get hot. I mean red pepper hot at who do they think they are to do that to my husband? Ladies, wave a hanky or something. I know that I know what I'm talking about. Amen? To see her great godly husband so afflicted and so patient under the affliction was more than she could bear. Her mind is weak and, may I say, also ill-regulated. She had suffered herself. Some commentators say that the moment that she said that, she became an ally of Satan and her husband's worst enemy. I don't think so. He took care of it. Hey, quit talking like a foolish woman. She urged her husband to do exactly what Satan had suggested that Job would do. Chapter 1, verse 11. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee at thy face. In Job chapter 2 and verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Saying this to her husband increased her husband's difficulty in trial of life. Girls, you got to be careful. You know, that guy that got, that husband of yours that got fired, or that husband of yours that got laid off, he's having a hard enough time. You don't need to kick him in the shins. You need to be very careful. She says, curse God and died. In other words, renounce God. Put all regards of him away from you. Even though he kills you, Job's wife implied that death is preferable to such a life that Job now leaves. You got to understand, when they tell me, you know, what I've read, that he got what they call elephantitis. And if you ever read any scripture, you ever read any doctor books or anything, his legs just swelled up. And they became hard, hard, and boils. And this man is next to death. It's incredible. Can you imagine? I've had a boil before. I had a boil right there, right in front of my head. And I'll tell you what, I was going away to pastor school, came home, and my wife hardly recognized me. It swelled up my head. Man, oh man. It was just, thank God, my cousin doctor, he took care of it. He lanced it, and he got what they call the core out of it. And after about 2 weeks of antibiotics, it went down, amen. I tell you what, that thing hurt. I was in college one time, and I didn't realize that one of my buddies had a boil on his derriere. And he walked by me, and you slap him, and he dropped right to the ground. He just dropped. I said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" He said, "I got boil back there, man. I'm mad up for fire, you know." Good night. Oh, that's terrible. Can you imagine having it from the top of your head all the way to the bottom of your feet? That man is in anguish, and I'm telling you what, his wife, the Bible says when we marry, we become one. She's grieving with him. She's hurting with him. Job answers, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women that speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hands of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Job remembered all the good which he had received of God during his past life, and all the blessings, all the prosperity bestowed upon him, and he asks, "Would it be fair or right to take all the good things in the matter of course and then murmur about the evil I'm getting?" He was thinking, you know, men have a different way of thinking. 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 is 4, 4 and 4 is 8, 8 and 8 is 16. You say, "Well, what is 1 and 1 to a lady?" 3, because she's going to have a baby. They don't think like us. They don't think. They're not abstract thinkers. And that's why they can do multiple tasks. I mean, they can have a baby, gonna have a baby, another baby on their lap, jiggle and fix dinner, and talk on the phone at the same time. Most of you guys, you can't chew gum and walk at the same time. It's amazing what God has given to these women. His brain is amazing, and they also have this sixth sense. And they know what you're going to say or what you're going to do before you even say it. "Hey, man, boys, aren't you glad about that?" I am. Job had accepted both prosperity, and he also accepted his affliction. He said, "Okay, been there, done that, we'll go on with life." And expressed himself as willing to submit to God's will. But he has, perhaps, scarcely attained to be the conviction that whatever God sends to his faithful servant is always what is best for him. He understood that. And that's what we need to understand. And hopefully as we grow up in the Lord and grow older in the Lord, we understand that God knows best for me. I don't choose the path that I take. He chooses the path for me to take. I don't want to go down some roads that I've been down, and I'm going down right. I don't like that road. That's not a fun road. Always wondering what you're going to do, what's going to happen, what's going to be. You know, thank God I got church 10 to 15 minutes early both times today. It just don't happen sometimes. And I have finally came to the point, I'll get here when I get here. I saw my sister walk in tonight, and I just grinned. And I said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that one little fellow. He's going to sit where he wanted to sit." And Mama said, "No, you're not. Pull him over." Yeah, that's life. You know? Things that we don't... I'm sure that Bernice never chose to be in the hospital this morning. But she happens to go there. You know? We go through some things in our lives that we got to say, "God, you are the master planner of my life." When you do that, then when things happen, hey, it is what it is. I'm going to trust the Lord in this thing. That afflictions are blessings in disguise and ought to be received with gratitude, not with murmuring. I was sitting down with Brother after church service. I preached for Brother Rudy and went over to his house. And Miss Mary, she put her to bed. And we were sitting out in there. An old maid from his church. And her mother's 88, so you imagine how old the old maid is. She came into the house and says, "Brother Rudy, I brought you something to eat." Brought cat head biscuits. I ain't never seen anything like that. About that big, Brother Sky. I mean, and you'd throw them up and they floated down. And she brought something else. I can't remember what else she brought. And she says, what are you guys going to eat? Oh, I said, "This is fine right here. I'll just get some butter." "Hey, get him! Stop him! That's your job back there." And How'd you like that every day? God bless her. And so, she says, don't you got anything to eat? I said, good night. Got them cathead biscuits. What more do I said, how many are you going to eat, Rudy? He says, I don't know. I said, boy, I know I'm going to eat a couple of them, amen. So, get the butter out and get the jam out, amen. She said, I think you preachers need something more than that. She went home and got chicken, fried chicken they'd had for dinner. That was nice. But as we were talking there, that has nothing to do with what I'm going to tell you. But I was just thinking about those cathead biscuits. I told that lady, I said, I wish you'd teach me how to make those. Oh, she says, it's really easy. I said, it's easy when I'm not making it. And I found out that they don't live at 3,300 sea level, amen. It makes a lot of difference, amen. So, Rudy and I were sitting there, and he said, Brother Shear, did you ever consider the greatest thing that ever happened to your life was what's happening with you now? I said, Rudy, I think so. She taught me a lot of things. And I can't tell you all those things that's been taught me, but I'll tell you what, I hope to God that I, in my life, share that. I don't know why. Well, I had dinner with my grandson today, Adam. And he says, Papa, I sure miss Grandma. How she used to play the piano so beautiful. And we used to go down to Shields and she'd buy us anything we wanted. I said, I don't miss that. She said, and this is what he said, she was so kind. He cried. 21-year-old boy just sat there at the table. He cried. I don't know. I do know one thing. It didn't surprise God. And he knows what I need. And I pray to God that makes me a better man. I want to read you scriptures where the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4, 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto us as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If we endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For that what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us and gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Listen now. In all this, Job sinned not with his lips. Job kept the doors of his mouth. Righteous and pious, he was careful. Our friends sometimes unwittingly make temptations harder on us. Job's wife spoke to him in sympathy, renounce God and die. I do not think that it was a fling of sarcasm, but a weak and honest attempt to give him comfort. He's going through terrible times. Job rightly says to his wife that to renounce God would be foolish. Job shows us that faith is the only reasonable attitude a man should have towards God. Faith. Faith in the things that happen to us and come to us. Note the affliction of Job. Satan will often incite our nearest and dearest relatives to seek to withdraw our heart's allegiance from God. He did this in the case of Job. In the moment of the fancied triumph, Satan moved Job's wife to assist him in the deadly warfare. Job had won the first course. Wouldn't you admit that? He made it through the first course. With all everything he lost, Job made it. By the way, so did Mrs. Job. But in the moment of his fancied triumph, Satan moved Job's wife to assist him in deadly warfare. Sisters, be aware of his practice. I want you to do that. I want you to be aware of Satan's practices. Your husband may be having some difficult times you don't even know. Many times a man will hold his lips. In other words, keep things he does not want you to worry about. He doesn't want you to fear about. He doesn't want to think about. And you be very careful what you say. Job knew that God had not forgotten him. Many of you will find that your friends sometimes will really make temptations harder on you. And there's a bearing of temptation. Job rightly says to his wife, renounce God would be foolish. If Job had renounced God, he would have been irrational because he would have given up the only source of help possible to him. Satan going to help him? No. That's the whole thing, you know. Troubles come to our hearts. Why would we want to walk away from God in the troubling times? That's when we need to draw closer to Him. That's when we need to read our Bible more. We need to pray more. That's when we need to love our children more and our families more and our wife more. Hey. When the troubles come and things are tumbling all over, that's not one you want to renounce. That's one you want to grab a hold. Let me remind you that God did not tell Job what was going on. Hear that? God did not tell Job what was going on. God did not tell Job, hey, Job, I just want you to know that I told Satan that you're the best man in the whole East. And I told him you were a godly man and you were a perfect man. He didn't tell him that. I told him that he could do anything he wanted to your stuff. He didn't tell him that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is all by faith. He didn't tell Job's wife this. Oh, by the way, just want you to know, here's a memo from God. That your husband, everything he has, all the wealth he has, is going to be gone in one day. And all your 10 children are going to die. I didn't tell her that. Then the second time Satan comes before God in heaven, and what does God say? Hey, have you noticed my son Job? He's a good man, isn't he? And Satan says, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll make him fall. You wonder what's really going on up in heaven, don't you? He was trusting in his proven God even before the testing began. Job trusted God, and that's where we need to be. We need to be willing to trust God in these things. Troubles come, heartaches come. Hey, who are you going to trust? Well, I'm going to trust in the proven God. I've been on this old earth 70 years, and I'll tell you what. Let me tell you something. I have seen God work in miraculous ways. But it seems like when my next catastrophe happens to me, all that goes out the window. Would anybody say amen to that? It seems like when I was a kid, we used to have pigeons in our barn. And you walk out to the pigeon, and you go, I walk out to the barn and go, that old 870. And those old pigeons just, poof, they're gone. Yeah, you couldn't see them. They're just gone. They were well trained. And it seems like that's what happens to me in my life. If that happens to me in my life, it must happen to you in your life. When everything you think is just going, and all of a sudden, you know, the flat tires come, the engine blows up, the smoke comes out, if you name it. And all of a sudden, I don't know what's going on in life. Boy, if God really loved me, He wouldn't let me have to go through all this junk. Well, Read your Bible. Check it out. It does happen. Troubles and sorrows all the time. And so, why is this happening to me? Number one, is it happening to me because I am not in line with God and what God wants me to do? Is he disciplining me? Is he trying to get me to understand? I talked to a fellow a while back, and he said, preacher, I stopped tithing. And he says, I'm not kidding you. He says, the next week, this thing happened to my car, and I had to pay the bill, and the bill was to the exact penny of my tithe I should have paid to the church. Well, hello. That is God disciplining. Because God's going to get his tithe, whether you like it or not. He'll get it. Another man was thinking about messing around. God about killed him. Sometimes I wish God would. And he fell on his face before God and said, Dear God, I understand. Now, when it comes to Job and his trouble and sorrow, was it because of discipline? No. I'll tell you what it was. It was God Almighty saying, Look at my son. Look at that man who loves me and does what I told him to do and does what I tell him to do and he's faithful. And God said, I just want to show him off. And Satan says, I'll tell you what. You take everything he'll have and he'll curse you. And God says, okay. Okay. And what happened? It all happened. Unbelievable. Unbelievable the things that happened to him. Satan comes back. God said, here's my trophy. Look at him. Hey, have you ever seen anything like that, Job? Satan says, I'll tell you what. Skin for skin. And God says, okay. How'd Job do? Yeah. Let me remind you that God did not tell Job what was going on. He had to live it by faith. And by the way, God's not going to tell you. You're going to have to live it by faith. And we just have a few years. Just a few years to prove ourselves to God of the testing and trial, and then we're going home. Amen. Graduation day is coming real soon. Amen. Satan acted thus not only on Job's body, but also the soul of Job's wife, both in order to tempt the patriarch to sin against his master. Up to this present point, Satan had failed with Job. Look at the three things worthy of our attention concerning Job, the frustrating the purposes of Satan. Number one, he reproved his wife. He said, honey, you shouldn't talk like that. Don't talk like a foolish woman. Number two, he vindicated God. He said, what? Shall we receive good at the hands of God and not receive evil? He said, I'm good with God. Hey, let me ask you something. Are you good with God tonight? Are you good with God? Do you trust Him in everything that happens in your heart and life? But I missed this out. I missed out on that. I didn't say that. I said, are you happy with what God's doing in your life? Are you willing to say, Lord, I trust you all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength? Or are you saying, are you questioning the God Almighty that created this magnificent universe? Number three, he is commended by the inspiration. Here is the divine testimony to Job's state of mind amid the torturing of David. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Men like Job are the strength. Listen to me now. Men like Job are the strength and the hope and the inspiration of all mankind. How many times you ever went to Job and read that? I'll tell you what. I didn't read much in Job until this thing happened to me about 6 years ago. But I'll tell you what, I'm always bumping into Job all the time. I'm trying to figure out how he got through this thing, and I think I figured it out. He just trusted God. He just got in the boat and rowed. Man wants to remove them from society. That life would become dark and cold and barren world. We need to pray for the longevity of these good men who are willing and these good women who are willing to stand up. And cause of despair will always give us a false view on God. Listen to me. Cause of despair always gives a false view of God. The remedy of despair is this. Listen to me. In Jesus only. That's our remedy. Hey, sister, you having some problems? Heartaches? Sickness? Things go wrong in your body? Hey! Listen to me. In Jesus only, you're going to get through this thing. The great and eternal truth which is emancipates us is God is love. Recognize the fact that there is a God. Recognize the fact that His mercy is over all that His hand hath made. How can we ever despair? We know that we are in His hands, and therefore we are sure. Let us then leave the demons of despair to the atheist and those who have neither faith in God nor confidence in man. But for ourselves, we will cling to the eternal truth that God is love. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it on dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cling to the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. Listen now, I will cling to the old rugged cross and change it someday for a crown. Thank God for Mrs. Job. Thank God for a lady that, oh yeah, she spoke out, and some of you girls speak out. Yeah, you do. Don't look at me like that. You speak out. My little sweet wife, Marcia, she used to speak out. And I said, honey, don't talk like that. She said, well, who am I going to talk to? I said, tell it to God. And she, well, you know, she said. And then we talked. Did you know the Bible says that the widows are supposed to go to the pastors and talk to them like they used to talk to their husband? When troubles come, they're supposed to ask. Yeah, God has given, yeah, we're supposed to talk, okay? Not all of us are tough. There's Job's wife. Only one time she spoke. Only one time. Only three scriptures you hear about Job's wife. But I can't wait to get to heaven. I just like to sit down with her and I say, what happened? And I think she'll say, I just couldn't take it anymore. See what my husband, a godly man, was doing. Had to go through something like that. Why? Why, why, why? You may ask about that of your own husband. Why does he have to go through this stuff? Well, the Bible says you're supposed to be there to comfort him and to love him. Mothers, that's your job. You're supposed to love him, put up with him. Oh, my goodness. His craziness. And love him. Because the more you love him, the more he'll see the love of Christ in you, the more he'll want to love Jesus. Bible says about the woman who married a unsaved man, says, hey, don't divorce him. Stay with him. And maybe, just maybe, he'll be won because of your deportment or the way you act. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, thank you for the good study that I've had with Job's wife. It seemed like I just got to sit down and talk to her. Lord, the heartache and sorrow must have been so great. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for her love for you. Though she may have said a few things, Lord, there are a lot of things we all say and shouldn't have said. But may we be comforted to live more like you. Heavenly Father, help us on this Mother's Day to be blessed and encouraged to walk closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.